Well, last week we were called the Queensland Footy Podcast, which was very unimaginative, Liam Flanagan, as I welcome you. So we've been workshopping ideas, and what are we rolling with this week before it has actually been approved?
Before it's been okayed by the bosses, we're going to roll out the Banana Benders. Okay. This is the Banana Benders podcast where we talk all things football in Queensland.
In the Sunshine State.
In the Sunshine State.
Where bananas are ripe and plentiful.
There you go.
And so is football.
The state where you'll never find the dance floor empty.
And
as Tupac once sang.
I tell you what, we could have started a dance floor on Saturday night.
We had our own rave going on Friday night.
Because it was something that you or I as broadcasters, I'm loath to actually say we'll never experience again, because I don't know how much faith you have in the Gabba now that this won't happen again. The lights going out.
Well, if the IOC was paying attention to the Lions D's game on Friday night, which I can imagine the International Olympic Committee would have been, they're revoking Brisbane's right to host the Olympics.
Oof.
As we speak.
Yep.
The lights went out.
And
in the fourth quarter, 12 and a half minutes to play, Lions leading by 40 points, lights out.
And not the first time that's happened at the Gabba. A few years before that, at a BBL game, same thing happened. And actually, in a Super Netball game, although this wasn't in Queensland, the lights went out on the weekend too. They had to call that off at halftime.
You're the journalist here. Did you find out why the lights went out?
There was some underground cable that blew or something.
Because the story we were given was that someone crashed into a power box.
Yeah, that was from Belinda Mellon, our boundary reporter, because there were emergency services, so people speculated, well, you know, cops, police, fireys are here, so maybe somebody's gone into a light post. Alistair Lynch on Fox Footy said he heard a transponder blow up, a generator blow up, but apparently it was an underground cable is the reason.
I want to share some of my favourite moments from that, because you're right, hopefully we never experience it again. We're in the middle of... we could replay the commentary, but it's basically you hear me saying demons rebounding off half back and then...
Like we've been abducted
silence.
By aliens, yeah.
You don't hear us and then it goes into a song.
Mm.
A couple of my highlights.
Yep.
Tom Rockliffe.
Yes.
Whose greatest concern was the fact that because of the power outage, the air conditioning went out.
Okay.
And he started sweating up quick.
He was already complaining about that before the lights went out.
He started sweating up quick. But my real favourite part is the lost 5 minutes of broadcasting that we did in the box.
It was some of our best ever work.
Myself, Simon Black, Tom Rockliffe, we proceeded to explain the situation. This was our moment.
This was our time to shine.
Pig on the field. This was our moment where we had all those great, you know, points of assertion and observations, and there was witty banter. And of course, the power outage meant we weren't on air anymore.
And we weren't told that, which was probably a wise move, because if the producer, Fruey, thought that we weren't on air, but we were, and we just start talking freely amongst ourselves, that could cause some trouble. But you're right. I mean, and one of the most surprising things for me, and one of my favourites, apart from Rocky complaining about the aircon, was his knowledge of how light works and how that bounces off security guards, because he was using the security guards and their shadows to say that light post is back on, but that other one isn't.
It was the Tom Rockliffe patented shadow test.
Now, I don't know if that was right or not.
We couldn't tell how many of the light towers had come back on based on how many shadows the security guards were throwing. It was fascinating stuff.
It was really fascinating. Unfortunately, no one heard it.
Exactly. Let's talk about the footy, though, for a moment, because prior to that, the 15 minutes after they returned to the field was, I think Chris Fagan would hope that that's wiped from the memory.
Absolutely. Now, I actually don't know. I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Do you actually review those last 12 minutes? How seriously do you take that?
I don't know. I don't think you would. I think Melbourne, the first 3.5 quarters, Brisbane were very impressive.
They were. 40 points up at the time the lights go out.
It was the display we hoped to see out of them in round one against Port, which they didn't deliver. Dane Zorko showed why he will be in that best 22.
Yep. If he can do that every week.
When the whip's cracking, he was fantastic. I thought Stašević down back was superb, intersecting, almost playing that role that Marcus Adams played last year. He's obviously not there on the long-term injury list with those concussion concerns, but Stašević kind of stepped into that role a little bit. Max Gawn going out early as he did was... I don't want to say a blessing, because an injury is never a blessing, regardless of who it happens to, but it did probably take away the threat that Grundy and Gawn delivered in that round
both
one against
in the
Dogs.
And then when Gawn goes forward as well.
And so, I thought the Lions were very impressive. And then in that extra 15 minutes when the teams came back out after the stoppage, the D's were playing with house money. They said, you know, Simon Goodwin had obviously said, let's see if we can pinch it. And they almost did. And so from the Lions' perspective, I don't know how much you invest into that, because when are they ever going to have to deal with that again?
If it became a trend where they started getting overrun like Carlton has been for the last couple of years, then I guess you look at it more seriously. But I just don't think the Demons would have had that much juice left in their legs to pull that off if they didn't have such a long break. You don't know if the players were, when it got to, you know, about 40 minutes, they only needed to wait another 20 minutes and the game gets called off, whether the players knew that and psychologically they've checked out a little bit. You know, if the coaches were talking with that sort of language as well, that they wanted the game to be called off, that filters into the players. As you said, Melbourne maybe look at it and go, look, the Lions have got this lead. They don't want to get injured. Let's go out there, give it a red hot crack as they did.
I don't know. At the time of recording, we don't have the definitive nomination in. But I'd be very surprised if Will Ashcroft isn't the round two Rising Star nominee. He was outstanding. 31 disposals, kicked a goal, had 9 total clearances for the game. You saw on Friday night why he was touted as highly as he has been.
And he was kind of typified the improvement from the week before, and amazing for a second game player. He had just, I think, 13 touches against Port Adelaide. The whole midfield could barely touch the ball. He comes out. They dominate clearances, contested balls, contested ball. He, you know, Lachie Neale, Zorko, McCluggage lead from the front in that regard. And, yeah, we already knew this, but he's going to be a very special player.
Yeah, and obviously, I think, aside from that, I think the Lions got through it unscathed. Zorko had some ice on his hamstring, but he's been cleared, as far as I understand. It was more precautionary than anything else.
Yep.
But, yeah, look, you know, for the Lions, I think it doesn't completely repair the damage that was done in round one against Port. Certainly puts them back on the right track, especially doing it against the Demons, who everyone was hugely impressed by in round one.
What a strange season, though, where we see a team, Port Adelaide, come out, pull the Lions' pants down, and then get their own pants pulled down against Collingwood. The seesawing margins and results week to week, it's just so hard to, and I know this is a small sample size, we're only at round two, to pick who, you know, the pace setters, the top teams will be this year.
I agree. Well, at this stage, the pace setters are the Bombers and the Kangaroos. So.
Yeah, well, will they be there by
you
the
know
end
who,
of the year?
You know who are not the pace setters right now?
Who's that?
The Suns.
Or the Hawks.
Should we talk to them? Should we talk about the Suns after the break?
Yes, we should, because I'm disgusted by Gold Coast. All right, the Gold Coast Suns, the start of the season with 2 straight defeats. We had some hopes for them this year that they would finally break that finals drought. Entertaining game against Essendon yesterday, Flanners. Level at 3-quarter time, the 4th quarter, the wheels fall off. And there was no light outage to blame for that.
Yeah, no,
there was no lights out.
The lights stayed on, but nobody was home for the Suns in the final quarter. I'm starting. Stuart Jew made the comment in his post-match presser that someone asked him, did you see it as an improvement on round one?
Oh, no.
Which is a dumb question, because of course it was an improvement on round one. Did you see what happened to them in round one? But he said, well, yeah, it makes me sick to say it, but yes. I've got this really sick feeling in my stomach about the Suns this season from what I've seen in the first 2 rounds.
Yep.
I was very bullish and hopeful of their chances of pressing for potentially trying to fight out for that 8th spot before the season.
Absolutely.
But after seeing what I have, I've got this uncomfortable feeling in the pit of my gut about what this season is going to be for them.
Yep.
Like Tuke Miller was back to his best. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, Matty Rao had a better game. You know, you look at some of the numbers. Lachie Weller was back on deck. Ben King kicked 2 goals, so he was finding a bit more of it. Jack Lukosius was better than round one. Most players were better than round one, and yet I just didn't see much to get me hopeful that this team finishes anywhere outside the bottom 4.
That was a Terry Wallace game for me. If anyone gets pats on the back for a good effort, then I would spew up, because they should not be falling away against Essendon, who are a team, they may have improved and maybe they've got the sugar hit of a new coach, but to lose that 28 points at Marvel Stadium, where Gold Coast is at the moment, where, you know, guys like Raoul Anderson, well, Ainsworth is a couple of years ahead of them, but they're entering that stage now where we should start to see them reaching their peak. For them to fall off in the last quarter like that is hugely disappointing. Sydney, they got jumped by in round one. They'd beaten them the year before. that sort of effort was just, you know, the sons of old, or maybe not the sons of old, we're not sure. Look, there's been, you know, a bit of talk the last week or so that Alistair Clarkson wanted to coach them last year, but they stuck with Stuart Dew. If these type of losses mount up, then the pressure on Stuart Dew will mount up. Mind you, you wouldn't make a change now. I think you've got to obviously stick with him.
Well, extended and it is still him in the early. Middle of last year.
Exactly. To see what Clarko's doing with North and now the Suns, I mean, and you'd think they'd be fitter than what they were. You'd think that they could run with Essendon.
I don't. And look, you want me to try and find an excuse for them? It has been insanely hot and humid. The conditions up here have been taxing and trying, and maybe they didn't recover from the game against the Swans. Maybe they never got their legs back from
that
Sydney
game. Well,
Sydney did. Well, Sydney, yeah.
Mind you, they had the bye this week, also known as Hawthorn.
I am anxious. You and I are calling the Suns-Cats game this weekend.
Yes.
Cats are 0-2.
Yep.
I fear a 100-plus point drubbing. I genuinely fear it.
It has that feeling, and this will be a true test of their character when the Cats are going to come out all guns blazing, no reigning premiers started the season like this for 14 years or whatever it is, that, you know, this is the type of game that if they do fall down meekly, then we go, they are just the same old Gold Coast Suns doing Gold Coast Suns things, and, you know, they have not improved. They've still got the same identity. And I wouldn't even accept an honourable loss, like we said, you know, the Terry Wallace, I'll spew up.
The time's gone to accept honourable losses.
Yep.
This is a team that's been around. This is their 12th season in the competition.
And it's not what we saw last year either.
It's their 12th season in the competition. The time has gone to accept honourable losses. And I don't think, you know, and this is external. I don't think there's probably anybody internally that is prepared to accept honourable losses anymore. But even from the, you know, this is, let's be realistic about this. This is a team that powers that be in Melbourne want the team shut down.
That's right.
And would like to see the license moved to Tasmania.
It's just all negative. When you listen to any type of conversation about the Gold Coast Suns, whenever they lose, everyone down south jumps on them, and it's just all negative. And so it doesn't take much for that sort of thing to happen then for jungle drums to get louder and louder.
Can I just say one other thing on that? Right now, any list manager worth their salt around the competition is picking through this list.
Absolutely,
is
yeah.
Is picking the eyes out of this list for talent.
Like, how long can, you know, guys like Noah Anderson and Matt Rowell, Victorians who have shown that they want to be loyal to this club, but they go to Melbourne, they've got basically zero support, and season after season they're dishing up the same thing before they go, you know what, maybe I want to go home and play for a team that has a better culture.
Now, I will say this.
Culture
Look,
of winning.
You've got Matty Rowe and Noah Anderson and King and Lukosius and these really talented players who have signed long-term extensions, which is great for the club. And Tuke Miller's not going anywhere. That is, guy is the heart and soul of this club.
Yep.
But I'm talking about the talent around the periphery. Mm. I mean, there would have been teams that saw the Malcolm Roses Jr. performance and the inside forward 50 pressure that he delivered in this game.
Yep.
I thought, we can use that.
Yeah.
We can absolutely use that. Mm-hmm. And look at the Bobby Hill example, right? This is a guy who super talented while he was at the Giants, for various reasons wanted to move, has eventually got it.
Thriving.
And now he's had two Friday night football games for Collingwood on the big stage in front of monster crowds at the MCG and is thriving, right? All it takes is for a nicely timed conversation with a Malcolm Roses Jr. or a Ben Ainsworth or someone like that, a whisper in the ear, and maybe it's not even more money. Maybe it's just the same money, but the chance to win, play finals football, and you could see heads getting turned. Now, I don't want that to happen, and people might listen to this and think, why are you talking about that? Why are you promoting that? Because that's the reality facing this team if they can't turn things around this season.
And we've seen it. I mean, it's shown. Gold Coast has been a team that develops players for a few years and then they get picked off by other clubs because they just don't have that success. Sam Flanders looked like he had an outstanding preseason, changed his number, changed his body shape. He's been a little bit disappointing. I hope Stuart Dew puts a rocket up him this week and he comes out and shows the work that he's put in over summer because he, I think, and, you know, I mean, there's a number of Gold Coast Suns have been pretty disappointing.
I also think the thing with Sam is I don't quite know, like,
what is he?
Where is he?
He's been a half forward, which is really a difficult position to play if you're
graveyard.
Not a crummer and you're not a key target.
What he is a midfielder.
Yeah, exactly.
What he is a midfielder, but it doesn't feel like he's being, put into the legit rotation of the midfield.
Yep, yep. And so, they need all the depth they can get in the middle. Good to see Lockie Weller back. Ben King, obviously second game back from an ACL. Weller, I think, was 9 months around that mark, so he came back super early. So obviously they're not going to be at their best 2 rounds into the season. It might take a dozen games. So maybe we can hold fire with some of those, you know, types of key players and Will Powell's to come back, Butterick as well. So, you know, let's fingers crossed, because we obviously see the Suns every other week and we have a soft spot for them. We call them. We want them to do well.
Can I get positive for a moment?
Yes,
can I
please.
Give hope? Can I give
help us all?
I think the loss to the Bombers wasn't about ability. The loss to the Swans, ability.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the talent. They didn't have the quality to go with the Sydney Swans, right? That I think that was evident.
They did the last year.
In round one, they did not have the ability or the talent to play with that Sydney Swans outfit. This is a super talented Sydney Swans team.
I think that there's a healthy dose of effort as well in that.
That round two game, that loss to Essendon,
yes,
not
no,
about ability.
For sure. Absolutely.
It was about execution mm-hmm. and about decision making.
Yep.
And that's fixable. That's really fixable. Now, they got to fix it against a tough opponent, the reigning premiers in the Cats.
Yep.
But the Cats are sleeping a little bit. So, you know, if we get some sleepy Cats up here on the weekend, who knows?
Well, I hope we see some sleepy Cats on Sunday and the Suns bounce back and give us something positive to talk about on the podcast next week. The
Banana Benders is flying.
Yes.
Banana Benders, the brand is strong. Can we also come up with a Banana Bender Award for next week, please? As
okay.
in Banana Bender of the Week.
Banana Bender. And so what would that be? Best player, best goal?
I think someone who just embodies the most banana-ish, benderish behaviour.
Okay.
We'll workshop that.
Yeah, we'll think about that.
It took us a week
to
come up with a name.
Yep.
It'll probably take us another week to finalise.
A bit like the Suns. We're just slowly working our way into the season. And,
we
have
more
get
Gold
there.
Coast Suns than Brisbane Lions right now.
All right. So we have got the Suns and Cats on the Sunday and then the Lions. Let's hope they can back up what we saw against the Demons, against the Bulldogs.
The
That's
doggies.
On Thursday night to kick off round three. They've been very disappointing. Bit of pressure on Luke Beveridge's shoulders. We'll check in next week.
Scary coach.
On your
very
finest.
Scary coach. Well done, Tommy.